fail to tell you that Jesus said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient." In other words, my empowerment, my strength that causes peace in the midst of the storm is sufficient for you. "I'll raise up your body," says the Spirit of the Lord. "I'll redeem your soul," says the Spirit of the Lord. "And I'll bring back from the ashes what Satan has intended to destroy." Do not give up in this season of your life. Bring forth praise and exalt yourself as you have found that the Psalms teach you to give praise in the midst of darkness. "Know this, that my grace is sufficient," says the Spirit of the Lord, "and I will raise you up in this hour. And I will cause you to be greater than the former," says the Spirit of the Lord. "I'll bring forth that which your natural soul cannot see, but you'll see in the Spirit. And your soul shall come to a place of submission," says the Spirit of the Lord. Paul said then, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in the midst of my infirmities. For when I am weak, when I've exhausted all physical, emotional, and my spiritual strength, then I know this, His grace rests upon me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Mahalakarasato. Meherida vundaske de ne mediaso. Heleha harehehi. No se kede. Mendekere se de. Jesus. I know that this is Mother's Day, and I'm supposed to be real nice. Can't help myself. The mothers that we're raising are the mothers that are in this house, and the mothers that are revivalists and the nanas and the grandmas and nanas and grannies. You're to be honored. You're to be honored, those that are watching. The mothers that are in this outpouring, the mothers that are part of, you're the first line of defense. This is not America 1950. Again, it'll never go back to that. If you're hoping America will return to 1950, it never will. It'll never be America like it was. And we can help. But mamas, grandmamas, you're the first line of defense. To keep your kids from being destroyed. It's a wicked generation, and it's going to get worse. You better be strong in the Spirit of God, and you better not think of yourself or believe in the lies of Satan. It's all right to be a princess. But every mother that we have, every revivalist mother in her long princess gown, if she just pulls up that skirt, that gown just to ankle height, we better not see any glass slippers. There better be combat boots underneath that gown. And if she pulls that gown off, she's not naked. She has army fatigues on. She's ready to fight. Because Satan's coming after your kids. Your daughters will be pregnant at 16. Your sons will wonder if they're supposed to marry a man or a woman. The darkness has come like never before. And if you're worried about what your tennis skirt, it doesn't fit you for your 3 o'clock tennis match, or your car that you wanted, it's not the color that you wanted, or your pool's got some green in it, and the pool man's not doing his job, go ahead on this journey, because you're going to find suffering in the days ahead like you've never known. And I don't wish it on you, but every woman, every mother, every nana, every grandma that says, "I'll fight for my family. My granddaughters are not going to be destroyed. My grandsons are not going to be destroyed. My sons and daughters are not going to be destroyed." Man, if you don't take ownership of your homes. You are a sissy. I'll whip you. I don't care. You can beat me to a pulp. You are a sissy. It's a day and hour that you stand up and pray and seek God's face like never before. And if you do, you've got a firm confirmation to the end. God will raise up a standard. You will not be defeated. Jesus will come in the midnight of your life. Every time. Everybody say, every time.
Every time.
He'll deliver me. Let's sing it again, knowing this. There's no quitters in us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Stand up and praise God with us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glorify you, Jesus. So praise the Lord. Right now, I'm going to ask, we usually do this in the service, but I want, and listen to this, so all of you that are here, all of the mothers and all of every lady that is believing for, because there are a number, of more than one, and you at home, I wish we had you here. But if you're believing for a child and or you're a mother, let's all please stand. And if we have any mothers that are in the nursery, now's a good time to get them and bring them over here. Hallelujah. Or intending mothers. Okay. Let's all the mothers who are a mother or you desire a baby in your future, let's all stand. Okay. That's not me, but and obviously, I guess I should tell you that you should be married under this, guys. All you mothers, would you please come and stand at the front? And intending mothers, come, please. Thank you, Jesus. All right. And Candy, if you'd have your helpers, whoever you have. We want to honor our mothers. Some of them are your parents. Hallelujah. And all of you that are online watching, we love you. We appreciate you, mothers, so much, and grandmothers, and hallelujah. This is a good group. So you can close the gap. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and pass out those beautiful flowers to honor them. Hallelujah. We wish we had a rose to give to each one of you through the camera this morning. Hallelujah. But these are, you know, the word mother in the Hebrew is the word bonder of the family, or the one who brings the family together. And as the Lord was speaking that word this morning, he was talking about that the mothers are the first line of defense. Now I'm going to turn my back on you for just a moment and talk to these moms. And moms, as you're receiving a flower and Amber's finishing up, I just want to just say a few words to you. And then we're going to pray over them, and I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to in just a moment. But right now, this is their time. Hallelujah. So, Yes. Sandy. There you go. So the first thing I would want to say to you as your pastor, Candy and I are so honored to be able to serve you. And you are, I mean, most all of these faces are, I mean, all of you are familiar. But you are special moms because... One, you have to put up with my preaching, and so that's one thing. But you have chosen to be women of that hear the call of God for your family, and you're women that are choosing to lay down your life for a cause that's greater than yourself. As I said a few moments ago, now if every one of you were in evening gowns and you look like you're going to a ball, I would hope that if we ask you to pull up your your skirt just to ankle height, that we would not see Cinderella slippers. I would hope that we would see combat boots. I would hope that your fingernail getting broke doesn't make your day horribly bad. I would hope that your, it wouldn't be tea time. It would be your time to hit the tennis court. Not that I'm against tennis playing. I guess I'm using that as an illustration. In other words, we have to, for us to raise the next generation, and maybe you're past the mama years, maybe you're in the grandmama years, but these kids are up against something that they've never been before. And we would love to have Hallmark services where we just talked about Cinderella stories, but you are those Cinderellas, but with combat boots on. And you're the ones that you are the lionesses that are the first line of defense. And you're going to pray for your kids. You're going to continue to pray for your kids because you know the battle's not over till it's over. So we appreciate you so much. And we applaud you. Can't we applaud them so much? Thank you, mothers, and all of you that are watching. I want to pray over these mothers and say thank you. We love you. So why don't you just, is there any way that you can, I don't know if you can hold that rose and hold and join hands as well, but don't stick a thorn in somebody's, yeah. Would you stretch your faith this way, standing with me, all of us? Hallelujah. And all of you that are watching, pray for our mothers. And if you have mothers in your home, pray for them as well, or mothers in your life. Heavenly Father, we just bless these moms, grandmothers, and mothers-to-be, that in the name of Jesus, the hand of God will be upon them and those that are watching this, that they will feel the call of God and the anointing of God on their life, that they will know that they are the first line of defense for their children, for their grandchildren, for the call of God for this outpouring in this day and hour. We bless them. We thank you for what they stand for and who they are. And they have chosen a life to lay down, and they've chosen a life to go forward in Christ. The very presence of them being here today is a testimony of that. I'm asking you to lay your hand upon them, bless them. I'm asking you to bless the wombs of the women that are standing in faith for children. I'm asking, as well as those that are watching, I'm asking, Father, that in the name of Jesus, the hand of God will be on all of these women, no matter what their status in life or their stage in life, whether grandmother or mother. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that in the days ahead, that peace, glory, power, the understanding of your word and physical blessings will be upon their bodies. Let infirmities of all sorts just be vanquished from their bodies. And we speak that life to them. We bless them. We bless them spiritually, emotionally. And Father, we give you all the praise and glory for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, moms and grandmothers. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Bailey really does have boots on. I love that. Well, worship you, Jesus. Father, we praise you. We worship you. Would you all say this with me and those that are watching? I say, that Immokalee is in revival. That this region is in revival. And wherever I live presently is in revival. I say that I am salt and light. And that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole. The power of righteousness is preached. Holiness is lived out through the divine nature. And thousands, billions are born again. in this revival. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Father, you've given us this call and many more like us that are watching. You've said things to us in the Spirit about expansion and growth and property and buildings and this and that and so many wonderful other things. Harvest of people, souls, seas of humanity. But Father, I ask of you, I ask of you as the senior elder that you'll hear my prayer. If anything stands in jeopardy of being lost in the transfer or in the gathering of what the true gospel looks like, as in righteousness and as in power. If there's any chance for this body, if there's any chance, if you see any chance, a real chance, if you look into our future and you see any chance of a lesser gospel or preaching or holding anything of a lesser standard of what we're after, that the blind see and that the lame walk. And if we'll not lay our life down for those things and yet give ourselves over to some kind of a building or expansion or property, I'm begging you, I'm asking you with all my heart, disannul all of our prayers. Erase them, Lord, and hold us right here where we're at until the end of time. In this place, let no prayer be answered in regard to any expansion. If the least is traded for anything, if power is traded, if intimacy is traded, if the true gospel is not preached, I'm begging you to go before us, shut every door, close every door. Keep us right here. Father, we will not trade your truth in this last hour. Mahale erote ifroske le idiata lakotata. Me alechad esetiete obaskatete. Many look to the right and to the left and have traded a life of prayer for a life of success inside the boundaries of Christianity. They knew to walk, and at some time I've come to them and offered to each one that have ever went far further in things of what the world would call and the church would call success. Every man has had his hour in which I visited them and offered to them a way into a place of crucifying the flesh. But I would trade to them that place of crucifying the flesh for everything that I was in this life. My mantle, my power would come upon them and come out of them. But few have chosen that path. Mahalo ole hediese. Mokedesete berokadaso. Jesus. Many in my body, present tense, will make every excuse why not to pray, why not to spend time in my presence. And I say any thing that comes to those who will not offer themselves up, anything that looks like success in the spirit, as in others looking and observing and saying, then they must be successful, as in expansion, numbers, or church wealth. Know this, that I did not add that to them. If the first is rejected, even passively, then I'll have nothing to build on. And whatever they build is in a 30-fold, permissive, passive sort of will that allows me only to get people born again. But I'm pleased with you, sons and daughters. I'm pleased with your offering and your sacrifice, your diligence to search for a way to enter in. Come into this place. There's no counterfeit for the anointing, says the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus. Keep playing. If you go 30 minutes, he's down there. Tell him to get up there. Tag team. Sometimes people, and I don't know, if they're honest or they just, I don't know. I'm still in a quandary about it. People that are listen to this message, that are on this walk, or identify with this walk. I'll didn't say that. They'll identify with this walk. They'll approach me, and I can tell you, I don't, well, some people may be listening that have had these kinds of questions. They'll say, Pastor, why can't I get free? Why can't I go further? Why can't I get peace? Why does it seem like you talk about hearing God's voice and God visiting you and these things, this, that, and the other? But I just year after year, and I'm talking about people on this, I'm not talking about babies just coming in. I'm talking about, I get questions like this from real people, not robots. How come I can't? Well, and then they'll tell me, thank God for their honesty. I can't understand after 15 minutes a day. I don't want to make fun of them, but I spend 5 minutes in the Word and 5 minutes in prayer and tongues and 5 minutes in worship. Really, how long have you been? Did you just get saved? No, 3-4 years, 2 or 3-4 years. Now, I've had people tell others, and different ones will say, he condemns me. He talks about his prayer life. I don't tell you how many hours I put in. But you know I pray. You know I pray. And I've had people say, well, he just condemns me. I don't know. He condemns me. Let me tell you something. If you've been on this walk 3 or 4 years, and all you can put in is a psalm a day and 5 minutes of tongues, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. You spend more time on the toilet. Pastor, you're rude. You're rude. No, I've got a fair intelligence. I know a whole lot more bigger words than I usually speak in here. It's not that I'm unintelligent, that I use rudeness. Sometimes I do it to provoke somebody, to see if I can't make them mad. Well, you've made me wonderful. You're not going to grow at 5 minutes. You're not going to grow. Well, I'm so busy. Okay, listen. Listen. If you just get born again, you're going to heaven. But I'm talking about a life where life and peace comes to you and strengthens you, and you grow spiritually. You could say, okay, I from the time I get up to the time I lay down, I've got 6 babies in diapers. I've got this, that, and the other. At least do this. Now, if you can't do this, you're the biggest excuse maker that I know. If you can't go through the day, at least going through the day, praying in other tongues. Because I believe this. I believe you could remove a brain. You could be a brain surgeon and remove a brain spur. And under your mask, the nurses that were helping you, they wouldn't know. I believe praying in tongues is so detached from whatever you're having to do mentally that you can pray in tongues constantly. You can change babies. You can do anything. You can work. You can make the biggest financial decisions on the computer that you praying in tongues, because it after a while you learn. I've asked, and I still mean it, and I don't care. And I don't care in a good way. I don't want nobody to ever get offended, like really hurt. But I don't want anybody, first for them, and then for where we're headed. I don't want anybody on the stage or anybody in the sound booth or anybody next door that is not at least praying in tongues on a consistent basis as they go and giving their life over to that. Because you can do that no matter what. It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. I'm trying to help you. You won't grow. You won't grow on a psalm a day. You won't grow on a psalm a day. Hallelujah. Lift your hands like this and just magnify Him. I praise You and magnify You, Jesus. I exalt You, Jesus. I exalt You, Jesus. I exalt You, Jesus. I exalt You, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mero corasata. Menda carese dietata. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Well, what kind of hour are we living in? I'm doing a deep dive in Revelation because He's pulled me aside to do it. And I'm doing it like Pastor Dave taught us. And for Revelation, I don't think I'll be ready to say anything about it, really ready, until about 300 times. It's not even a 50 or 60 time book. Please don't write me and give me your expose or see me after church. I don't want to listen Because as far as I'm concerned, I haven't found anybody that really knows exactly. Now, Jim gave us an incredible outline. Incredible. Best I've ever heard. But I do know this, whether you're going to get caught up first before all of this horribly bad stuff, or if you're going to be right there in the middle of the halfway mark, or at the end, you better be ready in all places. Somebody said, well, I'm scared of the mark. It was the shot. Have you gotten the shot? No, sir. I haven't. It's okay if you have. If that was your... But I can tell you it wasn't the mark. There's an angel. I've been through it enough lately. I've been camping out there enough. I do know this. When the mark comes into fruition, there's an angel that flies the earth's circumference and tells everybody, yells out, don't take the mark. You'll be eternally damned if you do. So we'll know for sure. You can't take it by accident. You have to know. Well, I'll never take it. Really? To not take it meant you can no longer buy or sell. They won't buy your honey. Well, I've got a bunch of cash, and we've got millions, and they're not going to sell you food at the supermarket unless you have this mark. So what happens then? If you don't believe God for your sustenance and provision, you start seeing your kids cry out for milk. I'm not ready to preach all of it. It may be 2 years before I am. But when I do, I'll know what I know. But whether you want to trade off? Whether you're pre, mid, or post, there's some tough times coming. Even in the warm-up, there's some tough times coming. The warm-up. Now, we're salt and light. So as long as salt and light is on the earth, we're always going to be able to have an influence. So I'm not saying let's just forget about don't vote, don't do this, don't this. No, we can still put certain people in office. It's teetering back and forth. But do you ever look at things in the big picture and say, why, you know, can this revival take place? We've been praying about it a long time. And it seems like something at Asbury happens, you know, months ago. It got world recognition in about 2 weeks. People all over the world knew about it. And then it just... Satan found a way just to snuff it out. It's like every devil in hell has been assigned and said, if you see any possible light where anybody... I'm going to say this real quiet. Maybe he doesn't hear it. The devil. That's why God told us, if you're in this group, the warfare, devils will be sent, and he named. Now, does that mean that you have to live under some kind of oppression? No. You'll actually get where after a while you see the fight and you kind of enjoy it. You're not sadistic, but you're like, oh, I know where this is coming from. I'm not going to live under it. You're not going to take my health. You're not going to take my emotions. Oh, and by the way, they'll show up in your prayer closet. They're very rude. They'll just walk in. The atmosphere will change. Listen, Listen, please. I'm not asking you to come here and make any commitment 2, 3, 4 hours a day. I'm just telling you, I'm giving you a very, very far out kind of example. I'm not asking you to go 8 hours a day, 5 hours a day, 4 hours a day, maybe 3's in a way, 2's maybe way out there. But listen, a psalm a day, you're not going to live in victory. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're just not going to live in victory. But if you can't do that, you better drive down the road thinking about that contract that you're going to sign. Back it up, Terry. Back it up. You better stay constant. You can at least do that. And if you can't do that, you're making excuses. You're making excuses for your flesh. You're making excuses. You're just absolutely making excuses. But no, you can do this. You can do this. It's a learned habit, but you can do it. Because it's a divorcement from the mind. After a while, your mind don't even pick up on it. You forget. You'll have to ask God, please help me, because if I'm seeing clients or going to the grocery store, tone it down where they don't think you're an idiot. But you can stay in the Spirit. This is where he said, pray without ceasing. You can pray. Hallelujah. Constantly, continually. But we're in an hour where it's different. The 1950s. Well, I remember when I'm sorry, that ain't. That's not coming back. It'll never come back. Too many changes. That's not coming back. Too many people have crossed the border. Millions and millions. Our apple pie and baseball games and hot dog and all that. Now we can have a revival, and we're going to have one. Even small town, back town, country town has changed now. It's everywhere. But this is where it's important to get tough, enjoy life, pray in the Spirit, intend on going into God, and really do it, really spend time doing it. I didn't have any notes. I'm not abandoning anything. Sometimes the more I pray, the less he lets me even plan. And I know that's him. Now, Wednesday night, if you didn't watch that video that we had, please watch that end video on Wednesday night. It's very important that you see that. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And he says this to Timothy. He said, "Now the Spirit," that's the Holy Ghost, "speaketh expressly." The word expressly means he's very bold. In other words, it's not that all scripture is given by God and breathed by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, but he's saying the Holy Spirit wants to get this across to his body. Expressly means very boldly. That in the latter times, and we broke that word latter down as in the last of the last, meaning when it gets down towards really, when it's going to get bad and go from bad to worse. In the latter times, men shall depart from the faith. It's not talking about sinners, it's talking about departing church. Men will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, when Kenneth Hagin saw that vision in the 50s, when he saw this invasion of devils that just covered America, and he saw that as the end time, how the darkness just covered it. But then he said, "Oh Lord, is there not a remedy? Is there not, do we have not any kind of hope for these last days?" The Lord began to show him that there were fires that would start out all across America. And these fires would be revival fires. They would be people that would be turning their lives over to God and saying, Lord, I surrender in the midst of darkness. And God would cause a great revival to take place. But you've got to understand, there's two things that are happening at once. We're never going to gravitate, get enough light. The light will shine brighter because the darkness will get more gross. You understand? In other words, this whole thing is on a downhill worldwide. Even America, in a certain sense, we can have some upticks. We can still, as long as there's salt and light on the earth, we should have influence. We can do stuff. But in that prophecy, he said, you'll never have. You'll never have any more freedoms than you have at that moment, whenever that prophecy was. So you got this graph. If you had a graph going like this, you'll have an uptick, but it's continually. Maybe in the natural, you'll get a Reagan in office, and you'll have a bunch of, you know, hoodlums, and then you'll get a little uptick, and then you'll, but continually it's headed towards Antichrist and tribulation. But it's also, there's another graph going this way that says, I'll take the light in the midst of darkness and cause a great resounding revival. It won't stop all of the darkness in the world from coming to pass. That's not even its objective. Its objective is to put in a great sickle and pull in a great harvest. The objective of the revival is not to stop the continual decline. It never will. That's going to have its day. But the objective of the harvest is to, with signs and wonders and miracles, take a great sickle and harvest billions to take them home. Speaketh expressly that in the latter times many, or it says some there, it said some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, speaking lies, having their conscience seared, cauterized with a hot iron. Now, who were they? Who would be doing that? Well, then Peter picked up on the same, from the same Holy Spirit, and we went there. It's not my objective to preach that whole message again that we did Wednesday, but Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, he starts out and he tells you what the subject matter and who he's really talking about in the very first verse. The very first verse, he tells you. He tells you that he's talking about preachers. That's what he's talking about. Now, there'll be congregation in there, but he said, he starts out and he says, he's warning the church, and he said, concerning the last days, as there was false prophets, so shall there be false teachers. So there you got your subject matter. So everything falls underneath that for that entire chapter of false teachers in the church. Jesus gave us a microcosm of the last days. They ask him in Matthew 24, what's it going to look like? What's the sign of your coming? What will it look like when it gets really bad? Then chapter 24, he said, to start with, take heed that no man deceive you. He's talking about false teachers and preachers. But then he said that there will be, because iniquity would abound, the love of many in the church would wax cold. Well, the microcosm of that whole thing was and he's still the same subject. Now, this may blow the socks off of some people. They may say, I don't believe that. Then he gave a parable to illustrate what he was saying in Matthew 25, still same subject. And he said there were 10 virgins, 10 of them. He's speaking of the church. Well, all of them had lamps. John 8, I'm the light of the world. If any man follow me, he's going to have the same light of life. He's not going to walk in darkness. You have to have a lamp, which is the born again spirit. And these 10 virgins had the lamp. The only problem is 5 of them were foolish and believed the false teachings and followed them. Now, why wouldn't he say there were 7 wise and 3 foolish or 6 wise? What's he telling you about the end time? He's telling you that it's going to look so bad in the end that at least half of the organized church, at least half of it, at least half of what the said, I call myself a Christian, that their lamps, if they were burning, will go out. That's how bad it'll get. But at the same time, we'll reap a great harvest. It'll look like the Jesus movement. We'll bring in the said church establishment. Jesus gave them no more than 50% chance. And you say, well, they were just, no. Read the end of chapter 25. He said, he turned them out. The door was closed. I never knew you. You can't come in. Their lamp went out and they didn't get it put back. They didn't get it restored. I'm telling you, it'll look like at least, sometimes I think it's more. Jesus, Paul, First Thessalonians 5, I think it was 5, he said, that day shall not come except there be a great falling away first. Or a falling away first. I don't know that he put the word great. That might be my italicis. Jesus. Then we've got a man. This is Mother's Day, so I won't name names. We've got a man that we saw, a preacher in Atlanta, that speaks to 10.5 million people on a monthly basis. His church is just a little bigger than ours. His actual church is 38,000, but that's on 8 campuses. But you know how they do the campuses? Everybody's kind of under one umbrella. You can have your own worship team at the campus, but the senior pastor at whatever church they're on, you'll watch him. He'll give a kind of a message each week on a big screen. And then that's not a bad deal. It's not bad. It's just what they teach is bad. Now, if you were having signs and wonders from the home church and all 8 campuses were having, that'd be a pretty good deal. That's not bad. That's not a cursed thing just because they're doing it that way. So he ministers to their average is 38,000 every Sunday morning. That's where I'd say they're just a teeny bit bigger than us. And he's evangelical, comes from good stock. But we watch things. Here's what he's teaching. He's teaching, and you saw it. And if you didn't see it, go watch it. You'll see about 7 or 8 things. They'll go, my God. Now this is where you're supposed to go get born again at, and then live a Christian life. You say, well, you're picking on him. No. Again, word microcosm. He's a microcosm of all across America. Major online. This is 5 wise, 5 foolish. Why didn't he use 6 wise or 7 wise or 8 wise? Because he was trying to tell you what the end time looked like. Well, some are going to just lose their reward. Yeah, those are the blessed ones. Thank God for the ones that just lose their reward. 2 Corinthians 3. Paul said, take heed how any man builds on this foundation. Gold and silver, then wood, hay, and stubble. There is no foundation except the one he said that he laid, which was Christ. And that every man ought to take heed, for the day will try his works as of by fire. Now there's a judgment coming. If his he goes on to say, if his works are tried by fire and they're burned up, but yet he himself could be saved, then that man would go into eternity by knowing the Lord, just by the blood. But he said this, but if any man destroy the temple, and he's talking about preachers, right in that same second, right after that, if any man destroy the temple, whose temple you are, Christ, you're Christ's temple. If any man destroy the temple, God will destroy him. In other words, it won't be a works thing. Blessed are the preachers. Blessed are the preachers whose all their works are destroyed, but they get to go in. At least they didn't destroy the foundation. If they're tried, their works are tried by fire, and yet they're able to go in, they live in eternity with us. Their reward will be diminished, but they live in eternity. They're not burning in a lake of fire. A fire and brimstone. Somebody said, you talk too much about judgment. Have you ever read the New Testament? Do you know Jesus actually taught as much or more on hell than he did heaven? I did a little thing years ago down in LaBelle, and some family members come. And one of the family members, he was living with one of my relatives. And I just preached just simple word. And he come up to me, and he was trying to get a point across to me in a real ha ha ha. He goes, man, you preach that old stuff, that hellfire and brimstone stuff, don't you? And I said, do you know how far we've gotten away from truth? This isn't hellfire brimstone. This is just gospel. Well, sure, if you're living with somebody, you're going to say that. Sure. Where was I? Works will be destroyed. People will go in. But if any man destroy the foundation, in other words, if you eradicate that foundation, which is Christ, what? The foundation is his blood. And by his blood, we've entered in. But then are all of his sayings, his commandments that we must follow. We've been empowered to follow now because we have a new nature, a new spirit on the inside of us. But he said, if any man destroy that temple, God will destroy him. In other words, he goes past works being burned up. He goes into a place of damnation, and he will burn men that cross that line. What is that line? It's a line that begins to dilute the truth of born again. We heard, with all of us who heard this man who preaches to 38,000 people a week and then podcast to 10.5 million on a monthly basis. We heard him say that these people that are gay, they're just wanting to come in and worship their heavenly Father. We're welcoming them. And if you heard the video, he wasn't saying we're welcoming them to come in and change. We're affirming that they have a Heavenly Father, equivocating them with us and saying they have received eternal life. And now they want to come in. We must accept them. We must say to them, if you say to us, you've received Christ, but you're going to continue in your homosexual lifestyle. And he said, look, these people have a Heavenly Father. They want to come in and be accepted. And we are going to, as far as our church is concerned, we're going to accept these and we're going to sit alongside of them and we're going to affirm them and say, yes, you have we've had it wrong. We apologize. Oh my God, for the preachers who are on an apologetic tour. The woke preachers. Everybody wants to apologize for this and that. I have nothing to apologize to you for. Nothing. As long as I preach the word, will we accept them? Yes, come on in. We love you. But you got to change. You can't practice this. You can't practice it. Because the blood doesn't allow that. But when you preach that the blood allows that, you begin to cross a place where you're destroying the temple. You are actually taking idols into the temple as they did in those former days when God went in and destroyed them. You're taking these idols of lust and perversion and saying, the blood covers this. You can live continually in your homosexual lifestyle. He said, I've never performed a gay marriage, but if my granddaughter asked me to, I probably would. You know, when you go to a marriage, do you know what? There's a man who performs or a woman who performs the marriage, and the witnesses were from the beginning. They were supposed to, the guests were supposed to be witnesses. In old Jewish law or any kind of most societies, the guests were witnesses. In other words, they witnessed and affirmed that these two had been joined together. When you go as a father or a mother or a grandmother or grandfather or a preacher and sit in the congregation of two that are joined together that God says they cannot join together. They cannot. You can live in a fornication life, a man and a woman, and then one day you can sanctify that. You can just sanctify it by going to the altar. And God will recognize two people that are not even born again, that at least they're married. That's a place. But you can't ever sanctify homosexuality. It never can. It won't. God has no place for it. The blood doesn't have a place for it to sanctify. The blood can't sanctify that. It can't sanctify that. And when you preach and say, they're part of us, they have a covenant, they have a Heavenly Father, in essence, they've been born again too, also like you, you're crossing lines. Is he done? Is he crossed the line? I don't know. I can't tell you for sure right now. That's not. The Father will. I will say this. I can promise you this unequivocally. I don't care who it made mad, who wrote me, who whatever. I don't care. Honestly, I'm not afraid of persecution. And I don't say that quickly. I say that very calculated. But I will say that if he continues to go that path, unrepented, he's headed to a straight line path, trajectory, straight into the pit of hell. I don't care how many people he watches him. And all those who begin to believe that, because you're asking, here's where you're doing. You're saying, they're born again, and the Word has provided. You say, well, what about the Word? Has anybody ever approached Him with the Word? Oh, yeah. But basically, He says, He goes, I know it says that. I know it says that. But somebody said, one of the podcast people said, but can't we say the Word says? He goes, no, you don't say, well, isn't this the Word? Jesus was raised from the dead. He said, the Bible doesn't say that. John says that. Or Paul says that. When you take away the Word of God, when you begin to say, those are men's opinions, and you dilute the Word of God, the inerrancy of the Word, the absolute of the Word of God. Now again, it's not picking on him. I'm just trying to describe to every single one of you watching and here, we're in a different hour. That's just one example. That is major across. You'll find more Christians than you know that'll argue with you because they think you're being, who are you to say a couple that loves Jesus, at least a man and woman that loves Jesus, that they can't live together? Who are you? And do you know this is just the blatancy of the Word of God? It's just truth. And it's a trickle down on our kids and our kids. Unless moms and dads, you raise them. If you don't raise them in a house where this is clear and distinct, there's such a dark oppression out there, it'll suck them in. We have to have a revival. We have to have a revival. What would I do if my daughter or my son was, you know, they were going to be joined? And, well, you love them. You don't go to their wedding. For God's sake, you don't do that. Because you're standing there saying, or sitting there saying, I affirm. Well, no, I'm affirming them. I'm not. No, you're affirming that you're a witness to say God is sanctifying this. God is sanctifying. Now, there's all kinds of differences, and we can't get into all that today. I could have my homosexual son and his partner come visit me in my home as long as they're not confessing and saying openly that they are born-again believers and they're confessing. See, Paul said, look, here's the difference. You can go to lunch with your sinner friend. And you can go to lunch with your fornicating friend. You can go to lunch with your homosexuality. You're going to go to hell for committing fornication with a woman just as fast as two men. There's no difference. It's both all sin. It's all sin. Can you imagine those people that bump into preachers? I pray to God it won't be him. I pray everything gets... Can you imagine people bump into people? Because you'll know who you are. Everybody in hell knows who they are. They remember back on people on earth. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Can you imagine bumping into a preacher in all that darkness and the flames are tormenting you and you look at him and you say, I followed you. I believed what you were in the pulpit. I believed that you were giving me truth. And I woke up in this place of torment. Now I could have my son or daughter come over. But Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If they are of this world, he said, I say not. I've written to you before. He said, I've written. This is the second time I'm writing to you about it, that if they are a fornicator, an extortioner, what all goes into that list, if they say they are a brother, in other words, they're confessing, I know Christ and I'm going to church and me and my partner, then he said, you can't not fellowship, you can't even eat with them. As long as they're not proclaiming that, they know that they're in the world. But I can't sit down with them confessing, I know God. But it's no son, no daughter, you do not know God. And if you walk in this house, you're welcome to come here, but you better understand something. You are not born again, and you're not following Christ. And lovingly, I've got to tell you, you're going to hell. Well, they won't come back too many times on that. But they could come often as long as they don't believe, as long as they know. Because they're just part of the world that's dying and going to hell. But I'll never go to their marriage. And they can't spend the night. God bless you, and God may God for any parent that allow any born again parent that will allow before you're married a couple. You're taking part in that. They might come and visit, and you'd say, well, you're going to go to that room, and you're going to go. Maybe there's that much permission. But you got to be careful what you affirm. I can sit down and have a dinner or supper with business, you know, people that I'm going to sign a contract with. They don't know God. They might be in a homosexual lifestyle. They might be, really wouldn't like that. They might be living with somebody, I wouldn't like that. But if they're saying, I'm a Christian, how far can you take it? I don't know. I'll know this, that if my accountant said he was living with a woman and had been living with her for 10 years and he was born again, he couldn't be my accountant. I couldn't even have a doctor. I can have a sinner doctor, but I can't have a Christian doctor that's a homosexual doctor. And I'd let a homosexual doctor work on me, but not if he was saying I'm born again. Why? Because I can't affirm it. I've got to preach a gospel in my life. I've got to preach a gospel from this pulpit. I've got to preach a gospel to every single one. I love them too much. I've got to, as that black preacher said, you got to stand flat-footed and say, we love you, but we love you enough to tell you, you're going to hell if you don't change your ways. I thought he was supposed to spell you. He's good. And we did all of this before noon. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you and we praise you. You'll add to this. You'll give us more. We'll have more fruit because we're choosing to teach and preach your gospel in love. But if anybody is in the sound of my voice, whether in this room or watching, please, please, there is a true gospel. There is a gospel that's uncompromising, but it has all of the grace for you to live a life free from sin. If you're not sure of where you stand with God, today is your opportunity. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to pray with you. The simplicity of it is this. The Word says if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead on your behalf, you will be saved. You will be born again. Father, right now, touch their hearts. Male, female, boy, girl. Someone's in an incredible point of confusion in their life. God, pierce the darkness. Come into their hearts and their minds right now. Cause them to see the light. And by the power of this truth, birth them into your kingdom. Now, if you're not sure, and as Gary often says, it won't hurt any of us or all of us to pray this. Let's all pray this in unison. Dear Heavenly Father, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in the blood. Cleanse me of all my sins. I can't remember all my sins, but Lord, you do. I'm sorry. I receive Jesus. I receive Jesus as my Savior, and I will follow Him as my Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Stand with me. It is almost 11. You know, all of you Cinderellas, your carriage is about to turn into a pumpkin. It's almost 12 o'clock. You've got 1 minute to get to the parking lot to hit your carriage. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.